Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
As the end of the UK's transition period for Brexit inches ever closer, the turbulence continues in the Houses of Parliament, where members are arguing over Boris Johnson's latest bill, one which would override parts of the withdrawal agreement and ultimately break international law. Now, Theresa May has become the latest to announce that she couldn't support the government's bill, but if it is passed and no trade agreement is reached, what could that mean here for us in Ireland, and which businesses will suffer most if they have to deal with the double whammy of a no-deal Brexit and a global pandemic all at once? Well, I'm joined by Martina Lawless, who's an economist with the ESRI, to go through all of this. Martina, you're very welcome. The truth is there will be impacts for businesses and consumers whether there is a deal or not, right?
There will be, because what is on the table at the moment is a very narrow trade deal. So if there is no trade deal, there will be tariffs applied on goods going both from Ireland to the UK and from the UK into Ireland. So that will increase costs for businesses and for consumers. But even if there is not a trade deal, there will be extra costs in terms of customs procedures, paperwork, the needs for testing. The UK will be out of the EU's single market, and there will be implications in terms of additional checks and costs and delays that are likely to impact prices.
But of course, everybody's fears are heightened now since this bill became a thing that we have to think about and worry about. And the prospect of no deal happening by the end of the year is a very real prospect.
Yes, I agree. The trade negotiations were going relatively slowly over the summer. There were a number of reports of limited progress, in particular on issues such as state aid to companies, which would change the competitive pressures, issues like fisheries, which is a big kind of political point. But there was still kind of quite high hopes that a deal would be done, given that it's in everybody's interest by the end of the year. The current internal markets bill, which aims to roll back what everybody thought was already agreed and off the table as part of the withdrawal bill, I think took everybody by surprise, particularly in terms of its bluntness, that it would do so regardless of the already agreed treaty. And that, I think, has set back the negotiations considerably and raises a much higher probability of there being no deal done by the end of the year.
But there does seem to have been a rollback, you know, some commitments that were made to backbenchers in order to quell their fears about it. But it has damaged trust when it comes to those negotiations. So we just don't know what the impact of it will be, even if it's not passed.
Even if it's not passed, I think the very fact that a bill went into the House of Parliament saying we would like to do this regardless of the clauses mm-hmm. of the Withdrawal Act that had already been signed and agreed with the EU, I think has been quite damaging for trust. And the big clauses that they're trying to roll back on are issues of implementation in Northern Ireland that were supposed to be agreed by a joint committee of people from the UK, the EU, representatives of Northern Ireland, and basically saying, you know, we don't really believe in this joint committee, that they have the rights to do this, that the EU has a say in how the protocol is implemented, I think is quite worrying, because the implementation of the protocol still has a lot of details to be worked out, and it's important to have a lot of trust in putting that through.
Okay, so while they're all having their talks somewhere up there, we have to deal with the reality of how this is going to affect us here. And it will affect our pockets, it'll affect businesses, it'll affect us when we're going in to the supermarket. Like, what are the sectors that will be most quickly affected? Where will we see it first? Where will it be most apparent?
I think in terms of businesses selling into the UK, it's going to be much more apparent on agriculture and food sectors. There's very high tariffs on both the UK and the EU sides on agricultural and food products. So basically in both directions, food we sell into the UK is going to be subject to quite high increases, which will damage businesses exporting. But also the food we import into Ireland, a lot of which comes from the UK. Our grocery retail networks are quite integrated. We would see quite significant price increases, I think, in terms of the
What are we talking tariffs. About there? Are we talking about processed foods like, I don't know, cereals, household cleaning items? Where is the highest concentration of imports coming in here? Stuff that we would be used to buying in our households?
I think as a kind of very broad generalisation, what we sell into the UK is largely fresh foods like meat, cheeses, dairy products.
Mushrooms.
And mushrooms. What we import then is the slightly more processed foods, ready meals, biscuits, confectionery. Almost a third of our sweets, confectionery kind of products that are on the shelf are bought in from the UK. And they will be subject to quite considerable increases in terms of tariffs. It's 20 to 30% increases, depending on the specific product.
And you say even if there is a deal, there will be interruptions to supply, perhaps, or there will be increases in prices, at least for a time.
There will be a lot of extra paperwork and probably customs delays, which would be likely to increase the cost of getting goods basically to the shelves. So our work had an estimate of about close to 900 euros on an average household grocery bill over the course of a year from tariffs, but an additional almost 400 euros from the increased kind of costs of compliance and paperwork. And those costs would be in place even if there isn't a trade deal. Mm-hmm. So the tariff part could be taken off the table with a trade deal, but the extra costs in terms of paperwork and regulatory barriers,
that will remain.
That will remain regardless.
The old loo roll, a lot of it comes from the UK?
A lot of that comes from the UK. Obviously, there are other suppliers. We could see a lot of kind of reorientation of supply chains towards mainland Europe over time. But that will be difficult to do in the very early days. And we don't know initially how quickly kind of supply chains can shift towards the rest of Europe. And we also don't know how difficult it will be for firms buying goods in from the rest of Europe to ship them across, drive them across the UK mainland and get them to Ireland, or whether or not they won't get caught up in delays at ports like Dover, even if they're not destined for the UK market coming directly to Ireland.
So we could, at the very least, see bumps, delays, price rises for a period of time after December.
I think for a period of time, at least, there will be some supply chain disruptions. I think in the longer term, firms will kind of reorientate themselves. There will processes will be put in place to deal with the paperwork more smoothly. But with only 3 months to go and no clarity on what the trade deal will be or what a lot of the paperwork implications will be, I think it would be difficult for everybody to be ready by January 1st.
And you noticed in your work as well a trend in that there is a risk that lower income households will be more affected.
Yes, we looked at how these impacts would vary across 10 different income brackets in the country. And we found a much heavier impact on lower income households. And that comes about purely because lower income households spend a much larger share of their income on sort of more basic necessities, in particular food. So any increases in food prices are going to have a larger impact on lower income households.
Of course, all of this couldn't be coming at a worse time in the middle of a pandemic, because we'll have additional costs coming from that too, right? And they'll combine and collide and hit us all in the pocket.
Exactly. And a lot of the work we did on the impacts of Brexit were done over the last 2 or 3 years, and we were basing them on an economy that was performing very strongly at the time. But more recently, we have been looking at how Brexit and COVID interact, in a sense. And what we found there is that the sectors that are most hard hit by COVID, in particular the hospitality industry, are relatively less exposed to additional shocks coming from Brexit. And it's actually the couple of sectors that have maybe been coping relatively well with the COVID epidemic, in particular the agriculture, the food sectors that have kept going because they've been essential services. They're on the front line of the Brexit shock. Mm-hmm. So Brexit doesn't layer a new shock onto the worst affected sectors by COVID, but it broadens the shock or the negative economic implications across a much wider sector of the economy.
But some counties are very dependent on the agri-food sector, aren't they, for employment? In Monaghan, I think it's 20% of jobs are involved in agri-food.
Yes, and there is kind of risks that both COVID and Brexit have quite uneven regional implications. If you look at Brexit in particular, a lot of sectors such as pharmaceuticals, high technology sectors, computer services are relatively unaffected by both. So you have a certain number of sectors, mainly the multinational high technology sectors, that are kind of relatively safe both from COVID and from Brexit. They tend to be concentrated in the larger cities, whereas the sectors exposed to Brexit, like agri-food, and to COVID, like hospitality and the tourism sectors, are more likely to be kind of important in more rural areas.
Okay. Just have a question here from a listener for you. I'm not sure if you can answer this, but they want to know, does most of our flour and sugar come from the UK?
A very high proportion of our sugar does come from the UK. I think something in the order of a third. I don't know, on the
broad. On the fly, yeah.
bread and cereal sector, it's about a third. But for specific products, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but then, I mean, going back to what you said earlier, that in the main, it's processed foods, and you mentioned confectionery earlier. Maybe we should be cutting back on that stuff anyway. I say Irish business must pivot to Europe when sourcing imports. There's far too much dependence in importing from the UK. That may just happen by virtue of the circumstances that we will find ourselves in after Christmas.
That may just happen. And it's certainly the case that the UK has always been a much larger share of our imports than it has been. Our export sector is kind of quite internationally diversified, although less so for the domestic Irish small and medium businesses that tend to sell more into the UK market. Mm-hmm. But we do still source a lot of our imports from the UK. But if the costs of that market increase, then there will be kind of considerably greater incentive to look for other suppliers.
Okay. Do you think that because we have all of this happening now, potentially without a deal, that we have COVID in on top of it, that your estimation or your work that brought you to 900 euro plus 400 euro on the paperwork per household in additional costs, do you think that might have changed because of what's been happening in recent weeks?
I think the direct estimate of the tariffs wouldn't change, because that's very much kind of based on a kind of a published list of kind of charges per product. The costs of the non-tariff barriers may have changed, partly because time is running out, but also because businesses are already facing increased costs from COVID in terms of social distancing and needing to not have kind of groups of people congregate too much. So there may be elements where the pressures to put these tests in place and to have these paperwork might become a little bit more difficult, given that COVID is already restricting a lot of business operations.
And with only 3 months to go, I mean, how do you see this playing out? What's your best guess?
I still think that there will be a lot of political pressure on both sides to cut a deal by the end of the year, because the disruptions on both sides, it would be very considerable. But I think it will be a very narrow, limited deal just on goods tariffs. Mm-hmm. And that leaves maybe a lot of other issues of cooperation and services trade and so on still to be sorted out later.
But as you said earlier, even if that does happen, and if a deal happens on that narrow focus area of goods, there will still be price increases. That's not really in doubt.
I don't think it's really in doubt. There will be extra costs to buying goods from the UK, even from regular customers, like buying goods from Amazon and so on. Some of those will come in with customs stickers on them, and it will become more difficult to ship things to the UK. So I think it's almost certain there will be some cost increases from that.
Okay, Martina, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Despite the fact that it wasn't cheery news, we're very glad to see you. Martina Lawless from the ESRI.